We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Heyman brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in by Brothers Supply, New York's number one source for ice air, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. And by Greenwich Hospital. I'm watching him here on MLB Network, and that, of course, is John Heyman. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
Oh, my God. I mean, the Mets have won 19-6 since the All-Star break. How could I be bad, John?
I mean,
where did this come from, John? I mean, I'm pinching myself.
You remember there was that year where they looked like they were dead in the middle of the year.
There's been a number of those, actually. There's been more than one of those, John.
And they came back. Was that 2015, I think? And,
well, I mean, it was 1969. There was 1973. You know, there's been a few years like that, John.
They're a second-half team. They're a second-half dynamo. Here they come, half game. And what's more, they have 7 weeks to go. I mean, it's not like there's pressure in the next 2 days to get it done. 7 weeks, and they're playing better than anybody right now. Of course, the competition has not been that spectacular lately, but they've been killing it, really.
All right, well, here's my two biggest concerns as a Met fan going forward. Number one is still the bullpen. And how? And even though it's been so much better, how is Callaway going to handle it now, John? Is Lugo going to be the closer in your mind? I mean, what's going to happen here?
I don't think they decided. I don't think they know for sure, but you're right. The bullpen is the number one issue still. I mean, we're talking a lot about where they bring in Joe Panic, which would be a nice story,
kid from
New York and all that, and that's a possibility. But really, the question is the bullpen. They need to get Familia, and they need to get your man Diaz back going. And if they do get them going, who knows? They could be dangerous.
All right, but you know, we saw a situation last week when they had that doubleheader where in a four-run game, Mickey went to Diaz in a four-run game where it wasn't the same situation. And then in the second game, in a one-run game, he went to Lugo actually for six outs to get the save. So I'm
just wondering if
what we're going to see from now on.
Yeah, Lugo's the guy they have the most confidence in, so he's going to get the biggest assignments, whether that be closer or not. I'm not sure going forward. I think they're still thinking about it, but they got to get Diaz going. You know, I mean, they had him on the trade block. You wanted him traded for nothing.
Yep.
I don't even think they were offered nothing. So, I mean, you know, he has not been good overall. I mean, lately he's gotten away with it. But, you know, if they get him anything close to what he was last year, that would be huge for them. I mean, he was probably the best closer in baseball last year. So it isn't that far removed. And he does have the talent. He is throwing hard. I don't know whether it's New York, whether it's the bone spur, whatever it is. I'm not sure. But they need to get him going, and they need to get Familia going, too, because you know, obviously, Familia was good last year with Oakland. We've seen him good at times with the Mets in the past. You know, if they have those two going, they could be pretty good. Their starting pitching right now is as good as anybody's.
Yeah, that there's no question about it. And, of course, when we're talking to John Heyman, here's my other big concern, and that's the depth on his team. You know, as bad as Cano had been, he started to hit recently. But it's a big injury because, you know, who's replacing him? Luis Guillorme? You know, I mean, is it a guy? I mean, really, when you look at it, here's their depth right now, John. Luis Guillorme, Hecheverria, Lagares, and Aaron Altherr. That's what they have on the bench.
Right.
That's nothing to get excited about, John.
No. Well, it's four defenders. Defense has been an issue, and those are four very good defensive players. And that could be one of the reasons they're thinking of just sticking with Guillorme and Hecheverria at second. You know, it's not the money. Panic is going to be released very likely. It's unlikely that anybody will claim him, and it's a very small amount of money. But I think
they should sign him, John. They really should.
It would be nice. I mean, I know they're considering everything, including how great they've been lately and how they don't want to upset the apple cart. I get it. Joe Panic is a terrific guy. They all know that. They have been in touch with Eddie Blankmeyer, the coach at St. John's. They're very close. Omar is very close to him. Jeff is very close to him. And I kind of think that they're the team that makes sense. They're the team with the second base opening. Guillaume and Echeverria are excellent defensively, as is Ruben Tejada, who's actually hitting at the minor league level.
Yep, yep.
But, you know, it seems like it's worth taking a shot at Panic, and maybe he needs a fresh start from Hopewell Junction, a New Yorker. You know, it makes sense, and you'd think he'd want to come here to a team that's in the race in New York. You know, I think it makes sense. It seems likely at this moment, but, you know, the Mets have been unpredictable at this point. We thought Wheeler was going to get traded.
Thank God they didn't.
Some people thought Syndergaard was going to get traded.
Thank God they didn't.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. Right? That was one of the best moves of the deadline, is the non-trade of Wheeler. You know, obviously they set the price high. They need to get more than the qualifying offer would bring them, understandably. And, you know, he ended 19 days off with the shoulder concern, which is obviously nothing at this point. He's pitching as well as anybody over his last two starts. So that was a great move. They made good moves. Stroman looks like a good move. That certainly lengthens a very good rotation. At this point, second-guessing, if you want to look back, maybe they could have added a bullpen piece then, because now you're just looking at guys who've been DFA'd, like Greg Holland or Cody Allen, guys who had some pedigree but haven't been good this year.
I'll tell you what, how much stock do you put in Phil Regan? Because I look at, and I never am a guy that makes a big deal about pitching coaches. They don't, you know, all right, there's some that, you know, Dave Duncan really was good, and Leo Mazzoni. There was a few guys over the years, Stottlemyre. Those guys were real good. But I don't really put a lot of stock in it. But it seems to me that things have you could pretty much, if there's a line of demarcation, at least for the pitching, even the bullpen, it's really Phil Regan coming in and taking over as the pitching coach.
Yeah, to that list, I'd add Brent Strom, who's over 70 with Astros. He's done a great job there. But, yeah, I mean, he certainly has the experience, a former major league manager, as well as longtime pitching coach and longtime pitcher and former teammate of Sandy Koufax.
Right. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if it occurred that minute when they signed him up. I think they had a rough series in Chicago at that moment. But not long after that, they have been much better. I don't think you can say anything else. So, you know, he's done a very, very good job. A guy in his 80s, fantastic story.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, again, we're talking to John Heyman. All right, so how do you see the – I mean, really, the Mets have to beat the teams in their division because those are the teams ahead of them. I mean, you know, they got a huge series here with Washington this weekend. Then they go to Atlanta. But how do you see the wild card playing out in the National League East? National League.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance they're going to get two in their division, as it turns out. Now, Philly is not looking great lately. Washington's made some pickups. They have those great pitchers at the top.
As Drupal Cabrera.
Healthy, you figure they're the favorite, but it's basically a dead heat at this point with those three teams and St. Louis. To me, St. Louis, just a disappointment. I can't even believe they're in the race. To me, that's astounding. They've been very good. Milwaukee, their pitching is a big issue, so I think they're even more issues in the central teams than the east teams. Boy, Arizona, despite trading Greinke, they can still hit. Their run differential is the third best in the league. You know, I'm not counting them out at this point. So I would say it's the three teams in the east plus Arizona. I know some Mets people are saying, well, we're not giving up the division. But, you know, I think that's probably a long shot at this point. But who knows? They've surprised us at every turn. To be in here on August 8th, to be a half game out, it's really shocking at this point.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, again, we're talking to John Heyman. They do have nine games left with Atlanta, but I agree with you. I mean, I can't see them winning the division. Now, go over to the American League right now. All of a sudden, Cleveland is right there. What are they, two games behind Minnesota now? How do you see that race playing out? And how do you – obviously, the Yankees have – it's over for the Yankees to win in that division. Houston's winning their division. How do you see the AL Central playing out, and how do you see the wild card situation?
Yeah, I think Minnesota will probably hang on. Their schedule's a little bit easier. They're really good. Cleveland's been the best team since the beginning of June. They're obviously without Bauer now. That was a great trade in terms of going forward, certainly for next year, but I don't think it can be considered a step forward for this year. But, you know, they're still hoping for – their pitching's been fantastic. The young guys, Bieber, Plesac, you know, Clevenger, incredible. They're still hoping for more to come with Kluber and Carrasco. So they're good. They're really good. Now, I think their offense isn't as good as Houston and the Yankees, and I still think Houston and the Yankees are the two best teams and the favorites. And the Yankees, I mean, can they play Baltimore anymore? I mean, it's ridiculous.
They do. They play them again next week at the stadium.
Four more times, right?
I know. I think so, yeah.
Can you believe I mean, they don't even belong on the field with the Yankees. They really don't. You know, to see a team that, you don't want to use the word tanking, but, you know, they're not really trying this year. And to play against a team like the Yankees, it's ridiculous. They have 50 home runs. They've hit the record number of home runs. It's just, it's absurd. So Yankees take care of business against the teams they should, even piling it on, which I don't blame them. It's the pros. You're certainly allowed. But, you know, I think ultimately the Yankees and Houston are the favorites. And, you know, most people consider Houston the favorite. If you got Zach Greinke as your number three starter, that looks pretty good going into the playoffs. But I think it's overrated, the rotation. Teams can piece it together. We saw Atlanta Braves. They were the favorite, you know, 10 years running, and they won one time out of 10. So, you know, I'm not counting them in. I'm not calling them the prohibitive favorite or anything like that. I think at this point they have basically the same record, and they're very equal. So those are the top two teams, but Cleveland and Minnesota are right there.
All right, let me – what happened yesterday in the dugout with Chris Davis and Brandon Hyde? Because obviously there was an issue there during the Yankee game. They had to be basically restrained from each other. Any idea what went down there?
Well, you know, we're guessing to some degree, but, because they didn't talk about it, but it looks like he wasn't happy with the effort on a pop-up that landed in, looked like around the second row, looked like he probably wouldn't have gotten it anyway, but he kind of just kind of jogged toward it. It didn't really run over to the railing. And then there was a, which I don't think there's anything wrong with it. He missed a scoop play. It looked like he turned his head a little bit, but, I mean, I think everybody does that. Hard to judge the effort on a scoop play. I think his frustrations are boiling over. Davis is obviously, what is he, hitting 182?
Yep.
Hyde is the, you know, the manager of this dreadful team. They're not the worst team in baseball, so we got to give them that. Detroit's even worse, but I think it's frustration. And, you know, it's Mark DeRosa made a good point on MLB Network when he said that if Hyde wanted to say something to Davis, he should take him aside and say something. It looked like, and again, they're not talking, so we don't know exactly what went on, but it looked like it was kind of a hit and run where he kind of said something and walked away, which probably isn't the way to do it. Chris Davis has been on that team a long time. He probably, even though he's playing terribly, probably deserves a little bit more than that. So it was an ugly situation for an absolutely dreadful team.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt they are they are a dreadful team. There's no question
about
it. But
not the worst. The Tigers.
It's hard to believe the Tigers have a worse record than the Orioles. I mean, it really is.
Awful. Well, you know what, the Tigers, they don't have position players going forward either. I think they're stuck in this for years. You know, at least Miami, they didn't have position players. They went out and drafted two top-notch position players in the draft. Then they, you know, of course, the Yelich trade will never be a good one. They gave away an MVP, but Ethan Diaz hitting that home run at Citi Field in his debut against DeGrom. That's a good sign. And at the trade deadline, they targeted and got three good positional prospects. So they had a plan and they executed it. They may be 2-3 years away. We just saw them. They're terrible now, but at least there's a hope there. There's no light at the end of the tunnel at this point for Detroit. They have a few pitching prospects, but that's it. Same with Baltimore, and the frustration obviously just got to them there.
Well, where is Scherzer now? Because Scherzer, there was talk he was going to pitch against Big Jake on Sunday. Now he's not pitching.
Yeah.
What is the status of Scherzer right now?
Yeah, I got to figure this is pretty serious because obviously this is a pretty very tough guy who can pitch through almost anything. But, you know, bat can be debilitating. They got to be careful with it. But, of course, it's a tricky one because they're not running away in that wild card as we see. As I said, basically a dead heat with Philly, Mets, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Arizona. So, you know, they're going to press him into service, and he's a guy who's going to go pitch if he can at all. Without him, you know, they're in tough straits, I think. They absolutely need him. I know people are always talking about them as a big threat because of their pitching, but again, they've had great starting pitching, maybe not Corbin, the number three, but they've had great starting pitching for a half a decade, and they've never won a round. So, I don't necessarily buy that. I look at the overall team, and the rotation does not make a team, but they obviously need him.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. All right, so, John, so do you, yes or no, you think the Mets will make the playoffs or not?
Well,
I'm probably going to ask you that going forward every week, but anyway.
I don't blame you guys, but you and Evan killed them off
yep.
several weeks ago.
We did.
And I felt the peer pressure, after arguing with you and losing that argument, of course, and they were dreadful at that time, and I said they
look,
were
no, nobody saw this coming. I mean,
and now
I,
I'm allowed to say, okay, they're going to be in the playoffs now. I mean,
nobody saw the run coming. I mean, come on. I mean, look, the biggest Met shill, okay, did not see this run coming. I mean, come on.
Who is that?
I don't know. It's just anybody.
I'm just talking about
anybody. I mean, you know, even the like I said, the biggest Met shill, which is would not be myself or Evan, did not see this coming. I mean, let's be honest.
Not the biggest Met shills. I will agree with that. You're right. I mean, as of today, they're playing better than anybody.
It's unbelievable.
It's a dead heat, so I'm going to say they make it.
I hope so.
I'm going to say they get in.
Boy, that would be something, man. Could you imagine that? I mean, But
well, give them credit for trying to win, you know, instead of just
one thing I will
prospects.
Say,
you know, they did the opposite of what everybody else does now. Everybody's
so
careful with their prospects. And I think if you sometimes take the contrarian approach, it pays off. And I think that's what happened here. They got Stroman and they gave up prospects. I mean, they didn't, I don't think, overpay on that deal. They didn't do like that Bauer deal where they gave up
or the Robbie Cano Diaz trade. No.
Right, and the Diaz trade was not a good one. But you know what? The overall approach, the idea to go for it rather than just build up the farm system ad infinitum like some teams do, it's paying off, and it's making things exciting. I was out there the other day, the doubleheader. It's pretty exciting there at Citi Field now.
Yeah,
who would have thought?
No, it's great. There's no question. You know, look, one thing Evan and I have said all year is that this team was better than they were playing. I mean, that's one thing. You know, all year you knew. I mean, with the solid core of young players that they have now, you know, they got five really solid core young guys that have been terrific for them. There's no doubt about it. And you know, the starting rotation, but they just were better than what they were playing. You know what I mean, John?
Absolutely. Well, that bullpen should be decent on paper. That bullpen looks pretty good.
Well, that's
good.
What now, killed them. That was the killer early in the season. And let's hope it doesn't kill them going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is not going to be great.
No.
It's a little better
now.
No offense to Cano. With Cano out, you've got better defender at second, and they seem to be playing Lagares and Altair a little bit more than they had in the past. So their defense is doing a little bit better. I mean, Dom Smith is out. Obviously, he hit well.
They miss him. They miss him as well.
Yeah, I mean, right. It would be nice to have that bat. You're right about the bench depth, and it's hard to do anything now because you can't really make a trade. You got to rely on the DFAs. Not so easy, you know, I they are better. You're right. They're better. They should be above 500, and they are now. So are they better than this? I guess we'll see, but they are a team on paper that looks like a better than 500 team. Now, particularly with that rotation adding Stroman, and you've got, you know, if Stroman's your three-starter, Wheeler's your four, however you want to
I put Wheeler ahead of Stroman. Wheeler's ahead of Stroman.
Okay, fair enough.
Stroman's got to show me he can, you know, I don't care what he did in Toronto. That means nothing to me. I got to, now it starts for him tomorrow night against Washington. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair. Great fielder, though. That play was incredible.
Oh, my God, in Pittsburgh the other night? That was as good as it gets. And he got squeezed. Right. Let me tell you something. Well, I think it was Welke, one of the Welkes.
And he was very professional.
He was.
He was very professional.
He was.
That umpire was awful.
Awful.
That was ridiculous. That was not right. And he did not scream. He did not jump up and down. And, you know, he's got a reputation for being rather opinionated. And he handled it for debut with the Mets, which is very important, spectacularly. And as you know, they say, HDMH. You know what that means? You know, I tweeted that the other day, and everybody in Toronto was screaming at me that they know what that means.
H. I have no idea.
That's what Stroman's going to wear on the back of his uniform.
Oh, on the Players' Weekend thing?
Yeah, HDMH.
But what does that mean?
Height. Well, I think it means height don't measure heart. But he's from Duke, so he goes, height doesn't measure heart. He's very particular.
I understand. Yeah, I think Alonzo's going to wear polar bear, and I think the great Jeff McNeil is going to wear squirrel. I think so.
Nice. Not flying squirrel?
Well, maybe. I don't know. The hitting squirrel, because, boy, can he that guy hit.
He's fantastic.
Oh, my
incredible.
God. Could you imagine
it's
if he
funny
would
to think about it now that the best player from last year's team was a second baseman, and now they've acquired two second basemen, Cano and Lowry. We forgot Lowry.
Right,
and now
right.
they may get panicked. So it'll be three second basemen. Of course, they do have the option to put McNeil back there and get an outfielder.
McNeil can play.
But I do think McPanic has a good shot.
They should get Panic. McNeil, though, can play anyway. Look, we've seen it already. McNeil can play anyway. He plays right
Fantastic.
Field. He plays left field.
He's
he plays
really
second
good.
Base, third base, and the guy bats 340. Now he's starting to hit home runs, too. Oh, my God. I love McNeil.
He's terrific. Best player on the team.
Yes.
Alonso,
yes.
fantastic also having
McNeil's the best
year.
Player
Alonso,
on the team.
Alonso, rookie of the year race is going to be interesting, though. I feel like he should win it. If it ended now, I feel like he should win it because he's contributed.
Does he
to
hit 50? You think
race.
He'll hit? He's got 40-something games left. He needs 13 homers
I think
for
he'll
50.
Get 50.
You do?
Yeah, I think he'll get 50.
Wow.
Yeah. But it will be interesting to see if he hits 50 and doesn't win the MVP. You know, they got a shortstop with actually a higher slugging percentage than him now. So if you go by, you know, all these analytics and things like that, someone's going to – well, Tatis is a fantastic player.
No, he's great. No, I'm not knocking – look, I don't – look, you know what? I got to be honest with you, John. I really don't give a damn whether Pete Alonso wins the Rookie of the Year or not. Okay? It would be great, but I want my team in the playoffs, and I want to win a World Series. So that's, you know, great. The awards are nice. You know, Big Jake winning the Cy Young was nice last year, but the team won 77 games. So I don't care about award. The only award I want that I care about is the MVP of the World Series. That I would care about.
I think Alonso's with you. I think he would trade in the rookie
yes.
of the year to get in the playoffs. I think he's that kind of guy, which
yep.
makes it even better.
Now, he's tremendous. There's no doubt. And so are you, John. You know, we love you. And start doing now. I want you. I just want to tell you, I'm going to give you a little heads up because the NFL preseason really starts tonight. The Jets play the Giants tonight in first preseason game. And it means nothing. Like I always say about preseason football, it's non-alcoholic beer, you know? Like, I mean, it's something like, why even bother? But I mean, but they got
to agree.
They got to play these games.
My Street Smiths and all my football magazines and preparing my.
I want you to do that. You got to do that.
I got to do better than last year.
Because I want to know. I want you ready. I want in a couple weeks. I want you ready. I want your Super Bowl predictions. Like by the first, you know, right after Labor Day, all right?
Okay. I'm going to prepare this year because the first year I did okay. I mean, I was around 500, which is what I should be because I know nothing. But last year, way below 500. That's not easy to do.
You know what, John? I found out over the years as a guy who's been a big-time NFL guy since 1960, 1961, the less you know, the better off you are. When it comes to picking games,
shape.
You really are. I mean, when it comes to picking games, the less you know, the better off you generally are. Let me just say that.
I'm terrific. If you want to hear about the 1968-69 Jets, I could tell you. But as far as now, I'm in fantastic shape. I know zero.
All right. Well, John, it's always a pleasure. Let's go Mets,
Same
John.
Here.
Let's go
All
Mets.
Right. It's good talking. You see you later.
John Heyman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.